Good morning. Good morning. Hey, right off the bat, I need to do something. Join me in welcoming parents today that decided to worship alongside their students. Thank you so much for joining us. We love the fact that you stepped out, you prioritized this, and took an opportunity to worship alongside your student. We're so glad you are here. Hey, before we dive into the Word this morning, I need to celebrate something. I don't commonly do this. I'm not a big, hey, here's all the numbers, get excited about this kind of guy, but I feel the need to tell you about this because I'm very, very excited. This week, we started house groups, as Dylan mentioned. Seventh and eighth grade house groups. We have 220 students signed up for junior high house groups this year. I tell you that number because I can tell you personally, I know that that has nothing to do with me. I know that that has everything to do with the way that God is moving in your lives, students, and the lives of your children, parents. I'm so excited about that. Every Wednesday night, getting to hang out with each other, grow in relationship with one another, and grow in relationship with God. House groups this year is going to be so much fun. I am so, so excited. All right, today, as you can see, we are in week 3 of our Welcome Back series, So we're looking at some of the things that you as students could commonly face as you head back to school. The first week, we just looked at your heart, guarding your heart because everything you do flows from it and making sure that that is in the right place as you head back into your school year. Last week, my good friend Dylan Berry spoke on stress and worry, talking about how the only true place that we find peace is in God. And this week, I want to ask you a question. How many of you sitting in here, and parents, you can answer this too, because I know it's probably true for you as well. How many of you sitting in here would say, by a show of hands, that popularity is a real thing? How many of you would say, yeah, at school, there's popular, there's unpopular? All right. We would all commonly agree that popularity is a real thing. It's a thing that you face. It's a thing that you pursue. So let me start off by telling you a little bit about myself and my story. Seventh grade. It was a dark, dark year for me. Why are you laughing? I'm telling you about the worst moment of my life. Seventh grade. Let me tell you about a few things that I had. I had humongous feet, size 12, that I would lug around because I wasn't as tall as I am. Oh, actually, that's the other thing that I had. Height. I was as tall as I am right now in seventh grade, which means I haven't grown at all, and also means I was about 2 feet taller than everybody else in seventh grade. I was a big kid with goofy big feet that I didn't know how to use very well. I had braces. I had glasses at the same time. There's nothing wrong with that. But let me tell you something I didn't have. That was all my teeth. I didn't have all my teeth. In fact, these two that are right next to my big front teeth, they were gone. And I don't know if you've ever seen a beaver, but that was my nickname in seventh grade. Beaver. Yeah, thank you for the, like, all the girls are like, oh, and all the boys are like, ah, I'm gonna call you Beaver from now on. Don't, it haunts me. I'm not kidding. The kids used to go like this, beaver clap, because beavers slap their tails and that's the noise that they make. It was the worst thing ever. I'm in seventh grade on the baseball team, and I'm like with my guys, and I'm like, all right, this is where I'm cool. And they're all, oh, Beaver's up to bat. And I'm just like, really? Come on. This is a dark, dark day for me. I wasn't the most popular guy in the crowd, that's for sure. And then ninth grade hit. And I was still the same size as I was in seventh grade, like I said. But now everybody else started catching up a little bit, so I fit in a little bit better. I just started growing into my feet. I started losing a little bit of weight, and then I started putting some muscle on, and I don't know where it went, but I had it in high school. And I got my swag, right? It's ninth grade, I'm walking through the halls like, what's up? My name's Shane. Oh, you already know that though, because I'm that cool. I felt confident talking to girls. I'm like, oh, hey ladies, now you know who I am. What's up? How's it going? Got my braces off, got some contacts in my eyes, thought I had it all. Played baseball, loved it. The girls loved it. that's awful. Ninth grade, things turned the corner for me. I thought I was the man. I knew I was the man. Now looking back, I knew I was nothing close to the man, But at the time, I'm like, this is what it's all about. It's about girls. It's about sports. It's about charming good looks, which I still have, so I'm glad. I'm just playing. Kane's shaking his head like, come on, dude. Get over yourself. I thought I knew what it was all about. Popularity. I thought if I could be the loudest person in the crowd, then I had it. Then I had the attention of everybody around me. I thought if everybody knew my name, then that was it. That was it. That's all I needed. I thought if I could be the most popular person, then everything else in life would come together. That's all that it was about. I was living for one person, and that was me. That was me. Every decision I made, every word I said, everything I did was about making myself famous, making myself popular, being the coolest person in a school of 3,000. If everybody knew my name, then I was the man. I was the man. And I look back now, and I realize that I had this whole thing backwards. I had this whole thing backwards. I looked and I thought, man, if I just live for myself, if I just make myself number one, then I win at this thing we call life. So today, we're gonna look at this guy who had every opportunity to be the most popular person in the history of the world. And we're going to see what he did with it. He's a guy that today, we still know. Today, in fact, he probably is the most popular guy in the world. Some people don't like what he stands for, but they still know who he is. And a lot of us sitting here today would say that he's the most popular guy in our lives. If you have your Bibles with you, open to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. We're going to see that this man we're talking about never chose to live the way that I did in high school. Hey, I'll say this really quick. If you don't have a Bible with you, we have some of our volunteers passing out Bibles. Raise your hand. There's no shame. We want you to follow along. How do you know what I'm saying is true if you're not reading it? I could get up here and tell you anything. I won't, but I could. Read along with us as we go through this. So today, this guy that we're talking about in John chapter 7, this guy that I said had every opportunity to be the most popular one in the world, his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. We're going to see how Jesus handled his popularity. The Son of God could have done anything he wanted to be the most popular guy around. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about Jesus. He could have done anything he wanted. He could have went poof and had, I don't know, cheesecake there or a pizza cookie. And I know I would have been his biggest fan. He could have went poof and all the cats in the world would be gone forever. And he would have been really popular because of it. I actually like cats. I don't know why you say that. This guy, at any moment, Jesus could have called as many angels to come and like sing to everybody. And you know that everybody would have stopped and went, okay, yeah, I'll follow this guy. He seems pretty legit. But yet he chose to live differently. So let me give you a little context before we dive into John chapter 7. In chapter 6, something interesting happens. So Jesus' journey, his life, was up and down with popularity. There were moments when everybody loved him. There were moments when so many people couldn't stand what he was saying. It went up and down, up and down, up and down. But yet people knew who he was. People knew his name. He had influence and opportunity to speak into people's lives. And right before this text in John chapter 7, he actually loses some of his followers. He loses some people because he has a hard teaching. He says some hard things and people go, I don't know if I can believe that. I don't know if I can follow a guy who says those kind of things. And we see some of his crowd walk away. And then in John chapter 7, we see that Jesus has an opportunity to gain all that popularity back. He has an opportunity to get everybody around him to see how great he is. But he does something different. Let's dive into this morning. John chapter 7. We're going to read through it. We're going to stop a couple times and talk about what it says. John chapter 7, starting in verse 1. It says, "After this, Jesus went around in Galilee. He did not want to go about in Judea because the Jewish leaders there were looking for a way to kill him." Let's stop right there. Verse 1. What's happening here? Well, I told you, he just lost a bunch of followers because of some of the things that he said. So after that happened, he decided that he was going to stay up north in this country today that we call Israel, in Galilee, instead of going to Judea, which is where Jerusalem is today, and where there was a feast that was taking place that would have had huge crowds and plenty of opportunity to get as much attention as possible. But it's also interesting. It says he doesn't go because the Jewish leaders there were looking for a way to kill him. Let me tell you this right off the bat. Jesus had haters. Jesus had haters. This guy who had every opportunity to be the most popular person in the world had haters. He had people that did not like him. The Son of God had a group of people that didn't want anything to do with him. He had a group of people who could not stand the popularity that he was gaining. Let's keep going. Verse 2. It says, "But when the Jewish festival of the tabernacles," that's what I was talking about, where everybody would be gathered together. "But when the Jewish festival of tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, 'Leave Galilee and go to Judea, so that your disciples there may see the works you do.'" Catch this. "No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world." For even his own brothers did not believe him. I think those verses perfectly define our human tendencies. They perfectly define the way that we think as humans. What's going on here? His brothers, these guys around him, his people, look at him and go, "Jesus, you need to go and show everybody how great you are." Even some of them didn't believe him. But they look and go, "Jesus, just show off. Go into town. If you want to be somebody, everybody needs to know how great you are." And this is the perfect opportunity. There will be so many people that you can go and amaze with your miracles and the things you say. Go and become a public figure. Go and become popular. This is just like us as humans, isn't it? It's just like us to want the limelight. It's just like us to want the glory. It's just like us to want the fame and the popularity. So interesting that it was the people around Jesus, the people like you and I, that looked at him and go, "Jesus, you got this wrong. You got to get out there. People need to see how great you are. They need to make you famous." But let's see how Jesus handled this. Verse 6. "Therefore," Jesus told them, "my time is not yet here. For you, any time will do. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil. You go to the festival. I am not going up to this festival because my time has not yet fully come." After he had said this, he stayed in Galilee. So when we look at Jesus' response to the people around him going, "Jesus, go and get popular, go and get famous, people need to know how great you are," we see that he was not at all concerned with popularity. We see that he was not at all worried about gaining fame in the eyes of people. Jesus was more worried about the purpose that God had given him. He was more worried about obeying what God the Father wanted for him. He was more worried about making the decision that was popular in the eyes of his Father than in the eyes of the human people around him. He knew that he was put on this earth for a purpose. He knew that there was a time and a place for him to do the things that he was going to do. And he had every opportunity to step out and do it on his own. But he said, no. My time's not yet come. He was more concerned about obeying the Father. Not to mention that he knew when his time came that some of the things he would say would upset people. He knew that his purpose was not what the people around him thought it was. He knew that it was different. And he knew that God's plan was more important than the plan of those around him. So I want to ask you this morning. What if we lived this way? What if we lived this way? What if instead of being so concerned of what everybody else around you thinks of you, being so concerned about being the coolest, the most popular, the one whose name everybody knows, and instead being more concerned with the purpose that God has for your life? Instead, being more concerned with the approval and the love that God the Father gives you. Wouldn't this change a lot about us? Wouldn't this change the way we live and the decisions we make and the things we try to go after? I think it would. In a lot of ways. In a lot of ways. Let's keep going. Verse 10. Let's see what Jesus does here. It says, however, after his brothers had left for the festival, he went also, not publicly, but in secret. Now, at the festival, the Jewish leaders were watching for Jesus and asking, where is he? Among the crowds, there was widespread whispering about him. Some said, he is a good man. Others replied, no, he deceives the people. But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the leaders. So Jesus waits. He waits to do the right thing in the right time that God gives him. And then he goes. He winds up going to the festival on God's time, not everybody else's. But I want you to catch what happens when he gets there. He shows up. People know who he is. He's a popular guy. He stood out in the crowd. And it doesn't say that everybody looked at him and went, that's the man. Here's the one to follow. It said some people looked and said, that's a good man. That's a guy worth following. But there were others in the crowd who looked and went, no. That guy deceives people. Stay away from him. I want you to understand, even the Son of God could not get everybody to like him. If you're sitting in here today, And I hate this term, but if you fall into the category of unpopular, which I want you to know, there's no truth to that. This game of popular and unpopular, it doesn't exist. And this shows us why. You will never, ever win the approval of everybody around you. You will be popular in some people's eyes, but in others, they won't be able to stand what you do or what you stand for. Even the Son of God was loved by some and hated by others. I want you to understand, if you are sitting in here and everything in this world tells you that you're unpopular, you can forget about that. Because even the popular people around you will never win the approval of everybody. So stop trying to. Stop trying to get everybody to like you. I promise, years down the road, if you continue to do this, you will be so tired because it will never work. Instead, be more concerned with God, who has a purpose for your life, who puts you on this planet for a reason. Be more concerned with the God who created everything around you and still knows your name. Be more concerned with what he has for your life. See, Jesus never sought popularity, but when he received it, he did something really interesting. Let's keep reading. Verse 14. It says, not until halfway through the festival did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews there were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having been taught? Stop there for a second. So Jesus gets his moment. Jesus gets his big break. Everybody around him is looking and going, how is this guy so amazing? He had some special skills, let's be honest. He had some special skills. In this moment that we see, he's set up to do whatever he wants to gain as much popularity as he possibly can. This is his moment. He could have called those angels. He could have went poof and had a bunny rabbit right there. And all the girls in the crowd would have went, ooh. And he would have won some popularity. This was his moment. Let's see what he did. Verse 15 says, the Jews were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having been taught? Verse 16, Jesus answered, listen to his words. My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Catch this, junior hires. Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Instead of using his opportunity to make himself famous, he did everything he could to point to the glory of God the Father who sent him. Instead of taking the opportunity and the stage and the limelight and the glory for himself, he said, it's not about me. I'm not here for myself. I'm here because somebody sent me with a purpose. Don't get it twisted. It's not about me. It's about him. He realized that no matter how popular he became, no matter if in that moment everybody wanted to follow him, he realized that he was coming and he was here to bring glory to God the Father, the one who sent him. So for those of you that are sitting in here this morning and you fall on the other end of that spectrum that we talked about, This whole fake thing of being popular and unpopular. The truth is, some of you would identify as popular. I want to ask you what you're doing with your platform. I want to ask you, what are you doing with the influence that you have? If you're popular, is your life just pointing to yourself and how great you are and how awesome you are and how cool you are and how much everybody likes you? Or are you doing everything you can to point to the God who made you, to point to the one who gave you the skills that make you popular, who gave you the looks that make you popular, the sense of humor that makes you popular, whatever it is? Are you pointing to yourself or are you pointing to him? Jesus even says, test me. He goes, look, anybody who follows the things that I say, follows the words that I say, will see. They'll see if it's about me or if it's about God. Let me ask you today, people who are following you, people who are listening to you, if they follow the way you live, if they follow the things that you say, will they be led to God? Or will they be led to just thinking you're cooler? Who are you living for? For both crowds this morning, for all of you, I want you to understand this. I fully believe that each and every one of you, at some point in your life, will get an opportunity where somebody is listening. We'll get an opportunity where somebody's watching, where somebody thinks you're the coolest person around, where somebody thinks you're popular. It doesn't matter if it's a million people or one. You'll get that opportunity. What are you going to do with it? It doesn't matter what the world around you says. It doesn't matter if you fall into a category that doesn't even exist of popular or unpopular. What are you living for? I want you to understand this morning that you have the freedom to stop chasing popularity, because that's exactly what Jesus did. He wasn't concerned with it. So don't feel like you have to chase this thing that you'll never reach, because not everybody wins the approval of everyone else around them. And then today, if you have a platform, if you're given that opportunity and people are following you, is it about you? Is it about making yourself cooler? Or is it about pointing to the God who loves you and who made you? I want to invite the band up. And as I do that, I want to leave you with a question. I want to leave you with a question. I want you to think about this. As you live your life, who are you making more popular? Are you making yourself more popular? Or are you doing everything you can to make the God who loves you and created you the most popular person you know? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the freedom that you give us. We thank you that we're known by you. We can stop there. We don't have to try to be known by anybody else, because the God of the universe knows us. Lord, I pray for those sitting here today that may look and go, I'm just not popular. I just don't fit in. That they would understand that they don't have to. That not even you won the approval of everybody, so they can stop trying. That's not what this life is about. It's about obeying you. It's about following the purpose that you have more so than the purpose that other people want. And God, I pray for those who now have that platform or have that opportunity. God, I pray that they would use it to bring you glory. To bring you glory. That they would realize that their life is not about them, it's about you. And Lord, I pray for all of us that when we get that opportunity, when somebody is watching, when we get the chance to influence someone around us, that we would point to you. God, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that your son Jesus gives us the perfect example of how to walk through this life. We love you, and we thank you, God, for loving us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.